This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/businessbasics to enroll. Hey, photographer, Jessica Whitaker here. And in this Build and Bloom Photography Podcast episode, I am going to be reading off and sharing photography hot takes. Last night over on my Instagram account, I asked you guys if you had any unpopular opinions, photography industry hot takes, and they poured in. Some I totally agree with, and some I think are kind of mean. And then others are just really interesting perspectives. And then I have additional things that others DM'd me to piggyback off of the hot takes. I also want to let you guys know that I just launched this morning a photography Discord for Build and Bloom. So for those who don't know, Build and Bloom is a photography Facebook group. It's what accompanies this podcast. And I've had a couple of people talk about Discord to me. And then I did a podcast interview yesterday with Helena, who is going to be on for 2 episodes, one about how to use Twitch for your photography, which is a streaming platform. And the other episode is about how to get into concert photography. She's also on the next Build and Bloom community call. And she was telling me about how with Discord, you can hook that up to Twitch. And I'm like, you know what, maybe I should create a Discord account. I've used one before for like, a friend had like a girl's Discord, and I believe I had to use it for that one AI program where you type in what you want the image to create. I don't know. Anyway, so I did create one for Build and Bloom. I'm still navigating how to use it, but so far we have like general chat, and then there's one for websites, and then Instagram links where everybody can do their Instagram links. We'll do like follow trains and then just all different specific categories. So if you are a member of the Facebook group, it's going to be quite different because it's a chat platform. So it's a lot more casual. And then if you don't have Facebook, a couple of people DM me and were like, I'm so excited that you're doing Discord because I don't use Facebook or I don't log in. Then this is a chance to be a part of the Build and Bloom community because there's a ton of crossover with people. So you can find that, I believe, on Discord by just searching Build and Bloom by Jessica Whitaker, or you can always send me a DM on Instagram. Actually, if you DM me the word Discord, I will automatically send you the link. I've set up something new called ManyChat. And it's what a lot of people do, where if you comment one word or a certain phrase on a post, for example, you see it with a lot of influencers who do like clothing hauls. If you comment links, then you'll get the link sent in your inbox. I used ManyChat back in 2017 for Facebook Messenger. And so I'm familiar with it, but I've never set it up for commenting certain words. So my Instagram is at Jessica Whitaker, and on that note, I'm going to pull up the Instagram, the story with all of the hot takes. So the first one that I want to read off, and I did some polls with these, photography hot take, I've given raw clients the raw files before. I have definitely done this as well in, I'm sure, a couple of instances where I didn't charge additionally for them, but the one I can remember in the most recent one is from 2 summers ago. And I was doing a branding photo shoot for a branding photographer, and she ended up being my mentor, and she's amazing. Her name's Wendy. She's been on the podcast a couple of times, and I was photographing her, and she asked if she could just have the JPEGs, like the unedited JPEGs. And I was like, sure, no worries. I really didn't care, because I knew her editing style, and actually she doesn't really do too much editing. So I knew I wasn't gonna be like sending her my raw files and then my work is gonna be, you know, completely different edit. But It is definitely a hot take because you can, of course, charge for the raw files. But in that case, I didn't really care. I was like, of course, here you go. You know, she was paying me and I was able to make, you know, it. How do I word it? It's like, because I didn't have any of the post-processing to do other than export the raws as JPEGs, I was able to just like work kind of less for that $800 price point. So I did a poll. Have you done this too? 18% of people said yes. The majority of people said no, 67%. And then 14% yes, said yes, but with payment. And I did a Instagram reel a couple of weeks ago about how it's common for social media influencers to ask for the raw files and that you just shoot on their SD card. And it's so funny how the Instagram algorithm works because it does not push it out to like my audience. It pushes it out to people who just have no interest in me. And the general, like I'm going to generalize here, but a lot of that is like older men who are really old school in their photography. So like, of course, they're not going to agree with what I'm saying as like a young girl and as somebody who does photographing influencers. It's like, if you're a guy who's been doing this for years and years and you like don't, not that you don't adapt when like the times change and stuff, but it's like you don't have any understanding of photographing influencers where that is common practice, then I had all these like men saying like, oh, that's actually not common at all. And it's so funny because then the rest of my audience that Instagram actually pushed out to were like, yep, same here. That's the one thing about TikTok that I've heard is so much better is that their algorithm pushes it out to people who actually are going to resonate with your content, whereas Instagram, I feel like, just sends it to the haters. And I'm not saying like all men are like that, but that's just like a pattern that I've noticed, you know. And so I've also shot just on an SD card for an influencer, and you can charge different ways for that. You could just charge by the hour for that, like $200 an hour, whatever your hourly rate is, or you could still charge for your full package, because either way, you're still right having to like plan the shoot, show up, da-da-da. You're just not editing the photos. And all of that, though, should be discussed during the consultation process, during your planning call. You know, you don't want to just be sprung upon you if you are not cool with that. So that's something about communication beforehand. And there's lots of great discussion from my followers on that reel, and I've deleted a lot of the hate comments. So another hot take is photographers are above videographers on wedding days. I 100% agree. It's a team effort. Oh, and you know what? This is actually coming from Erica. She was in the first Build and Bloom community call, and she's a videographer. So I responded, yes, it's a team effort, and I've second shot for wedding photographers before who were rude to the video, and it's just super weird vibes to do that. But then also on the same coin, it could be like the videographers could be rude to the photographers. I don't know, it's like there's always can be this like tension sometimes, but I think that's why it's really important. I haven't shot a wedding since 2017 was my last wedding. So, you know, things probably have changed, but it's like, that's why you go and you introduce yourself to the videographers, you like be really professional, really nice. And I've never really had any attention like that. But when I've second shot, I've definitely noticed that just like in years past. Okay, somebody else says, I don't like dark vignetting on images. Photographers need to pose their clients and fix their hair. I agree. So I think most people will agree. Myself, I'm very, very detail oriented, and I teach how to look for those details in all of my free content. And it's definitely something that is going to develop with time. But the thing is, when I see luxury wedding photographers who miss important things like hair just sticking out, hair's out of place, a tag is showing, somebody's wearing their Apple Watch, there's a wallet still in the pocket, or there's a hair tie on the wrist. It's like when you're a luxury wedding photographer who's shooting also like on film and you're charging your clients $30,000, you need, like, that's crazy because it's like it makes me cringe because your client is paying you like $30,000 for this wedding, and part of that is because you're supposed to have, right, like this, your eye that you've built up over the years. And so it's like when you can't you don't even like fix the hair. That's going crazy. You're out of place. It just makes me cringe and I feel bad for the clients. And like I said, it's something that you develop over time, but once you're charging that price point, like 10 grand, 20 grand, 30 grand. I mean, it's hard to be like, oh, you know, they're just learning. Okay, somebody said mist filters. Why use something that degrades the quality of images? I think this is interesting, and I got this a couple of times. I can see what people are saying about how they think it brings the quality of the images down, but I really like mist filters. I have one for a moment that's, oh, well, I have two, I think. It's called the Cinebloom or Cinebloom filter. It's just a really soft filter that goes over your lens that emulates film photography. And I have it at like 25% and 50%, like two different strengths. And I think that they're really pretty, but I also only use them in like certain lighting situations or with certain photo shoots. So I wouldn't use a mist filter on like my engagement photos, because the style that I do my engagement photos is very just like classic. I still get documentary shots in there, but I'm thinking about what they're going to want to put framed on the wall. And then if I do like creative photo shoots, then I'll do the mist filter. If, you know, the way I style my creative photo shoots is already very vintage and girly, and it just can look very fairy tale when you do a mist filter in the in like golden hour. But I totally understand, because this is similar to my hot take, which I forgot to mention at the beginning, about hating the blurry photo trend. I'll talk about that in a second. I also don't want this episode to be like hater, so maybe I'll just share that I don't like the blurry photo trend, and then I'm going to read through the rest of the hot takes, because the first couple of ones that I posted, I'm just going in chronological order, had to get the traction going. I had to do some of the like very polarizing, I mean, I don't know if others consider it polarizing, but I feel like they're kind of rude, not rude, but like polarizing, like they can come off a little bit like snarky, and that's not what I wanted this to be, and it's not what the rest of them are. But to get the traction at the beginning, you know, keep the interest, keep the views up, I had to start with those. And I did start with why I hate the blurry photo trend, but I promise the rest of these aren't going to be the same pattern. But yeah, mist filters, blurry photo trend, everything is subjective. And with the blurry photo trend, let me share a story. And I actually did this in one of the advice columns about, okay, we all know there's a trend going around, and it's been around for a while, where photographers will like long exposure or just shake the camera to have the photo be blurry. And I understand it from an artistic lens. I understand it aesthetically, like I get it, I just don't like it. And that's subjective, you know, a lot of people do, that's why it's a trend. And the reason why I don't like it though is because it's not something, and again, this is my own like bias, it's not something that I would frame on my wall. So let me explain. When I was going to New York last April, actually this time last year, my boyfriend took me to New York for my birthday, and there's a photographer in New York who I wanted to hire to do our photos because I love her work. Unfortunately, she was out of town, but it saved me like the cringe, because the one thing I was like really struggling with was how to ask her, can you not take any, like I want to hire you and have your work, but I just don't want to have any blurry photos. Can you not do blurry photos? Because a lot of what she shares on Instagram, in her carousels, there'll be like three blurry photos in a carousel of 10 images. And to me, personally, that would be a waste. Let's say, you know, most people, you get a set amount of images in your gallery. She delivers like 20 images, let's say. I don't want five of those to be blurry, because I just don't like it. But also then I'm looking for photos that I can put in a frame, right? So I have no idea how you even navigate around asking somebody that, because like art is so personal, right? But then at the same time, like you are the client. So thankfully, you know, she wasn't available, so I didn't have to navigate that. But that's one of the reasons I don't like it. I've done it before back in, I remember a shoot in 2019 in the summertime. I did a photo shoot of my friend and her fiance at the time. And not like they broke up, they're married now. And we were shooting it during blue hour. She was on his back for a piggyback ride, and I did long exposure, but there was still like a focal point, like the focus was still on her face. So I think it can be cute where if there's movement already to the pose, it can look cool. I understand it, right? And I understand that it can help like tell a story more. I just don't like when somebody's standing still, for example, and like the camera is so like shaking around like an earthquake. I just don't like it. But again, that's like all subjective, but it is something to maybe consider if you are somebody who posts, like you do the blurry photo trend, but a lot of your Instagram feed is that. That might be some feedback to consider, is having, you know, maybe not the blurry photo be the first one in the carousel. And I also understand why people like it, because if you're doing a blog post, it can kind of break up the blog post. It adds like interest and the artistic edge, but then maybe just have it be in the blog post. Again, you know, totally subjective, but that's what, how I kind of think. So I understand with like the mist filters. Somebody said that Fuji Superior, I don't know how you pronounce it, Fuji Superior 400 is the best film, and I asked them to explain themselves. So this film is super, super green. It's like what you will get if you are getting a disposable camera, and you just buy it from the store, Fuji disposable, like that's the film that's in it. So it's very, very green, and I like it, but I don't agree that it's the best film. But I think it's so, that's why I'm like explain, because I'm so curious the thought behind it. And a lot of people would say Kodak Portra 400 would kind of be the other, the flip side of it, which is a lot more, it's not as green, it leans a little bit more magenta, but it has like true skin tones, whereas the Fuji, it's also going to be more green skin tones. But it can be cute though. Okay, somebody says, I've refunded non-refundable deposits. And I have definitely done this before too. And in my, we did a build, well, okay, I hosted a Build and Bloom Women's Networking Group meetup last Sunday. I'm recording this on the same day that it goes out on Thursday. So this past Sunday, and the topic was just how we navigate difficult client situations. And somebody was talking about how they had a difficult client situation where they had a gut feeling from the start, and like they wish they would have listened to their intuition that they were going to be a difficult client just from signs that they were showing in the booking process, and that then they ended up moving the wedding date and they wanted the money back. So the girl never even showed up to shoot the wedding because the wedding hadn't happened, right? And she was like, you know what, no problem, because it was already being tricky to work with them. And so that's definitely happened to me before. Or also we talked about, on in a similar vein, having grace and compassion for people. It's like, I know it's really easy for us to be cynical or jaded by thinking that everybody is just cheap and everybody wants their money back, and that's what we see so often in Facebook groups where we're needing help in those situations. But that's not always the case. It's like sometimes people have to cancel photo shoots because an unexpected bill came in, right? And so that's where you can tune into your intuition and gauge if you're going to refund them or not. And I don't think it's a bad thing to refund people when you have grace and compassion for them. And who knows, they might even be able to book you down the line, but they wouldn't have booked you again if you didn't refund them, because they're like, well, you know, I didn't have a good experience. But I also understand that you need to have contracts in place for the majority of your clients, because during a, let's say during a really slow season, where that booking was what was going to allow you to make your car payment, and or you had another client that could have booked that day, during your busy season, let's say, I totally understand that. So I'm not saying that you should be refunding everybody willy-nilly, but I think that we have to give people a bit more grace, and that's where you can tune into just your emotions, right? Especially as women, in the group we were talking about, like we are so in tune with our emotions that we could use it to our advantage, where you're really able to understand like when somebody is being genuine about it. Somebody says, I hate grainy photos. No, I like grainy photos. Most people, 65% said that they like them. Okay, I don't have a set preset for my photo sessions. And then I did a poll that said 40, so most people said same, they don't have a set preset either. And then 40% said I have a few I go between, and then 17% said that I stick to one or two. Yeah, I don't have a set preset. Like, I have 5 or 6 varieties of the same base that I've created, but I have to adjust it according to every session. And years ago, I would, well, back in my 2016, 2017 days, I did use the LXC presets. I mean, maybe even before, which were the classic, like, super desaturated, really orange ones. And, like, those were just, you know what? I should make a, oh, yeah. Those were just, like, so iconic. I just had this meme that was, like, it's a Taylor Swift song, and it's like, you wouldn't last an hour in the asylum where they raised me. And, like, the theme is that you put a photo of you and you wouldn't last an hour. And then the next slide is, like, the asylum that raised me. So that could be, like, Neopets. That could be Sims. That could be, like, whatever. So I put, like, Flickr there. Like, that's the asylum where they raised me. But, you know, it'd be so funny is, like, you wouldn't last an hour in the asylum. And then, like, the asylum is the LXC presets. That's a good idea. I might do that. I'd go between the three. And then before that, though, I would just experiment around and I would edit with any preset that I thought suited that session, which is not what I do. But, like, then my work wasn't a lot. It wasn't very consistent because I would do, like, one photo shoot very, very blue and da da da. And it was cute. And that's how you learn editing. And just a reminder to you guys that if you're interested in joining the Discord, or if you're just curious what that even is, maybe you haven't heard about it, it's a chat platform, so it's a lot more casual. It's also available on mobile, and you can just send me a DM over on Instagram. I'll also try to link it in the show notes. I'll just do that. I'll link it in the show notes, the description of this episode. Okay, let's see. I'm going to skip ahead that are kind of like, okay, camera strap is not needed. 70% of people said absolutely not. Like, I do not trust myself. And 31% said guilty. I don't use a camera strap either. I got one for the first time in a long time for my Antarctica trip because, well, number one, I had a telephoto lens, and you have to be hands-free when you're way down in, like, Arctic gear. So I did get a camera strap for that. And what I like about it is that it's detachable in the sense that it has buckles on either side. With my manicure, I cannot put on and off, like, a camera strap all the time. But I don't like shooting with a camera strap always. I don't know what it is. It's like my toxic trait. And so I like with this, I can just buckle it on and off. It's so cool. I'll link it below if you guys are interested, if you're like me and you have nails. Okay, I give my clients almost all the photos because yes. And then the poll was 54% said me too, 33% said no, and 13% said yes, but I charge extra. Yeah, I'm guilty as charged. I definitely give my clients all of the photos in the sense that I'm not delivering all, like, 2,000 that I took, of course, but I don't hold anything back. So in my packages, and I need to kind of look at my packages and restructure them ever so slightly. But the thing is, okay, so I say, let's say 2-hour photo shoot, you get 40 images. We all know it's not 40. It's going to be like 150. And if I just had like 2-hour photo shoot, I mean, I might even have changed this, then I always still get the question in my inbox, how many do we get? So I just figure that having that information on the guide is just a way to cut back on, like, you know, like, the back and forth emails as much as possible. So I like to have as much information front facing on my website. But it's like, if we're shooting somewhere for 2 hours and we're doing maybe like three or four different, you know, little locations, then I'm not going to hold anything back if the photo is good. It's just that I'm filtering through, like, and not including blurry ones or ones where they're blinking or talking, or even some where it's like the lighting just, it's you go, you shoot to appease them, and then you're like, you know what, this lighting isn't very good, you move on. But I wouldn't even send over those photos. I had a photo shoot recently at the Cherry Blossoms in UW, and I love the lighting for everything, but one area I was like, oh, this is a really cool area, but I just couldn't make the lighting work, and I still took the photos. And that was just like my own insecurity. I was like, oh, okay, I can't say like this, you know, actually, never mind. I don't know why I didn't think that. So I still took them and I didn't like the lighting. It wasn't very good. And so I didn't deliver those. And yeah, I over deliver. But here's the thing. It's like that's when it comes to like senior photos, graduation, engagement. If I was doing like corporate headshots or real estate photography where, you know, I don't know that. I mean, there's just some subjects where, for example, if you're doing product photography, you are being charged by the photo, or you're charging by the photo, and so you're not gonna maybe give a company or somebody who's running a company, even if it's a small business, like extra photos than what they paid for. So maybe you are gonna charge like $20 extra for a photo. It's not like you need to charge them crazy, like $1,000 for the raw file, whatever. But I do think it's important to have boundaries, because it's like when it comes to those milestone moments in our lives, like engagement and graduation, I feel like that's kind of different versus like product photography with somebody running a business. However, one big thing is I do not do prints, and I don't do heavy photoshopping. So if there's a photo, if I'm already editing and I already do use AI for culling and for editing, and there's a handful of images that I could deliver that are already edited in the style, you know, and it's pretty simple. I'm not having to do a lot of like Photoshop work on it either, like to remove any like distractions, then it's super easy for me to deliver additional photos. But if I was doing like retouching, or even like photos where there is heavy Photoshop work, such as at the cherry blossom photo shoot, it's so busy. It takes place at the University of Washington, and it's called the Quad, and there's like dozens and dozens of cherry blossom trees. But because it's like a public university, everybody goes there to take photos. So that takes so long to edit the people out of it. So it's all just case by case, right? Cell phones during wedding ceremonies should be banned. I hate when they're in shots. Okay, this was an interesting poll that I took. 72% of people said same, it's my biggest pet peeve. And 28%, I don't care at this point, that's the client's problem. And that's probably done from burnout. So, okay. I went to a wedding last summer where I haven't been to many weddings too, like as a guest. I feel like just as I'm in my late 20s, people are starting to get married in my circle. So I love that they did a no phone policy during the reception. I think unfortunately there are still a few people taking photos on their phone. Oh wait, you know what it was? Yeah, no phone policy. But then they were like at the ceremony, okay, one who was marrying them was like, okay, Nellie and Nora said that if you would like to take any photos of them, da da da. So then it was like a minute where people could take photos on their phone. So I thought that was kind of smart. But yeah, I don't like when there's weddings and ceremonies because of the obvious reason. As a photographer, you're the one hired there, so it's not really necessary. Somebody else gets the photos like on their phone. They'll get them on the professional camera, but also because they're in the shot. And it could be annoying to Photoshop out. And it's interesting. I don't care at this point. That's the client's problem. I'm sure a lot of people are voting on that because it's like the burnout of, if you're a full-time wedding photographer and you have, you know, 40 of your weekends booked for weddings, and most of them people are taking photos on their phone in the ceremony, it's like you can only really edit so much out, I guess. Yeah, I don't think that phones are necessary for weddings. And some people were like, I don't really care, or like, I have, you know, that's people getting their memories. I totally get it. But I think it's a testament to like, we live in this digital age where, I don't know, I don't use my phone much for personal use, not for for taking photos, yes, but it's like, okay, we should be able to be off of our phones and like untether ourselves from them, so we can be in the moment, especially during these huge milestone moments like wedding ceremonies. Okay, let's see. Okay, this one I might take a second to explain, and I might even ask in the Discord. It's criminal that the going rate for second shooters is still $50 an hour. It needs to be so much more. 83% of people said that they agree, and 17% said no way. Okay, $50 an hour, and let's say you are there for second shooters aren't always there for 8 hours, though. They're there for, like, maybe 6 hours. So 50 times 6, that is 120, right? 100? 50 times 6, 300. That's why we double check. $300. I feel like maybe this is, like, the boomer in me coming out. I feel like $300 to go and photograph a wedding for, like, 6 hours is really good money, because you don't have to do any of the editing or the client communication. You just show up and you photograph. And it's like, I remember when I was second shooting, when I was still working full-time and part-time and going to school, $300 was amazing money, and I really needed it to, like, pay for my college. And so I can, that's pretty average. Is like my friend Jenny, I think she pays her second shooters $52, and like she'll also tell me, like, if you want to shoot this wedding, I can pay you $300 for the whatever 6 hours. But I understand the people wanting it to be more, but if we really think about it, and again, this is the boomer coming out of me, so if you don't agree, that's totally fine. I understand, because however 60% of people agreed that they think it should be more. But it's like, what other job is there where you can make $50 an hour that doesn't, like, that doesn't require you going and getting your master's degree for? You know, $50 an hour is amazing. Even in cities that are higher cost of living, like Seattle where I live, like New York City where I lived, San Francisco, $50, like, that's freaking amazing. And again, you don't have to do any of the editing. And so with that being said, if the photographer is charging like $1,700 for a wedding and she's paying you $300 and then, you know, taxes, da-da-da, but she's there for like 12 hours, you also have to ask, like, why would a photographer charge, like, what would be the point? I don't know how to say it, but like, why would the primary pay a second shooter more than $50 when that's already a really high, like, hourly rate for them, but also like they're doing the majority of the work. So I see why people want to be charged more, but I guess I like have a hard time understanding why, or like I can see, I don't know how to word it. I guess I just don't understand how much more people want to be making, maybe like $100 an hour. But then, you know, wedding photographers only charge so much, like, and have so much of a budget that they can give. So if they were giving you $100 an hour, you're probably going to be there for, you're going to end up making the same amount either way. You're just going to be there for less. But then it's like, okay, good, you only have to work 3 hours versus 6 hours and you get, you know, $300. But for the wedding photographer, it's like, or the primary, it's like, okay, what's, I don't know. I'm going to ask in the Discord, because I'm really curious, like, why people want to, I'm just curious about the mindset behind it, because I feel like that's pretty good. But also, I don't do not shoot weddings. I don't remember. I probably paid second shooters $50 an hour before, and my second shooters were like my friends, though, so maybe that's also like they didn't really care. Like when I shoot, even for like Jenny, I don't really care about the payment. I'm just there to like vibe and shoot with her. But I also have that privilege now since I don't shoot weddings and don't depend on them. But with like my friends, so it'd be like Jenny or my friend Sage, she second shot for me. So maybe it's like when it's your friends, we're just like vibing and it could be different, you know? But yeah, I'm gonna ask in the Discord, so please let me know there. And then what was the other ones? Okay, let me pull them up over here. Also, this episode, as you can tell, is a very, very casual. I'm not really doing much editing. Okay, a lot of people are saying they don't get the blurry photo trend either. Gear does matter, especially lenses. I agree that lenses matter, but I do not think that gear matters when you're just starting out. It matters to like an extent, right? If you're shooting on a crop sensor and you've used it to the best of your ability and now you have the money to buy a full frame, but I think that it's like the lens is what can be more powerful than the camera, but up to a certain point, right? So the thing is, it's like when it comes to buying gear, you need to do it using wisdom financially. Otherwise, it can become like a debt, like a hole of debt. I don't know what how to word it, where it's like you're going $3,000 into debt to buy a mirrorless camera, but your full frame DSLR works totally fine. But it's because of like, not to be like we live in a society, but we live in a society where like with capitalism and marketing for tech, it's like technology marketing is always going to say you need to buy the newest camera, newest computer in order to be successful. And that is not true. You can work with what you have, and you can, that's how you also get to learn and hone in on your skills. But of course it reaches a ceiling where it is time to upgrade, but make sure that you're upgrading from a place of wisdom where you can't afford it and you're not going into debt over it. Another person says just because it's shot on film doesn't make it more artistic or better. Another person says they don't like the lens filter. Somebody says, I agree with mirrorless being a bit better than DSLR, but I miss my 5D Mark IV. That's so funny because somebody else, I think it was either on the community call or in person at the women's networking group, said something similar where they upgraded to mirrorless and they just miss how their DSLR worked. A lot of people said they don't like the tilted and crooked photo trend. I've never seen that. What that actually reminds me of, though, and like I said, haven't seen it, but what I have seen is like back in the day, like 2010s, where your senior photos would be like tilted at a complete angle, or be like a photo of, you know, the railroad track, and that would be like rotated at an angle. So I'm really curious about this trend. Oh my gosh, Kiana Marie says it's okay to thrive in more than one niche of photography. And I agree. Kiana is coming on for, she's a recurring guest on the Build a Blue podcast. She's had, I think, 3 episodes up that you can listen to. And we're doing a new episode together that's rolling out soon. And she's kind of the master of all trades or of all niches in photography. And I love that she teaches on this. She's taught on it in the podcast before. So just search for her name, Kiana, Q-U-I-A-N-N-A, and then Marie. And she does branding photography, engagement photography. I don't know if she does weddings, so I'm not going to say weddings, but family photos, boudoir. She does everything. And she talks about how you don't need to niche down if that is what is bringing in like money for you. So, and if you need the money and you don't want to niche down, you don't have to pick and just be only a branding photographer. If you're also booking families and like maybe family photography is your bread and butter, but you want to be booking more senior graduation or more branding photos, still advertise the family photography and still do it strategically, or maybe don't advertise it so much. But if you're making money from something, consider it your bread and butter and you don't need to niche down. I feel like that's what we're told a lot, is like you have to get super hyper specific in a niche, whether it's on social media or with photography. And I love that she teaches that way. I'm gonna wrap up. Wow, it's already been 40 minutes. And again, I really hope that this episode doesn't come off as like negative. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have led at the beginning with like, because like I told you guys, I left some of those like really polarizing ones. I answered those in the stories as the first few ones to like get that traction. But maybe I shouldn't have. I'll try to do another. Maybe instead of calling it hot takes, maybe I should have just called it like confessions. Wait, what? I don't know. Anyway. Okay. The last one that I'm going to end on is, often I spend an extra hour on a photo shoot and I don't care, I don't charge more. This can be murky water. What's the phrase I'm looking for? So I don't think that you should get into that habit. And I think it starts with knowing what time frame realistically you're going to be able to get the photos that they need, and like that clients, you learn this with time, but it's like the first couple of maybe like months that you're doing photography, or the first couple of seasons almost, you can kind of vibe out if you need 2 hours for a photo shoot or if an hour is enough, you know, you get an idea of what works for you. And during that time, you know, I think it's okay to experiment and not charge. It's hard though. Okay, let me give you the reason why you should not just continue shooting and not care. Because number one, it's more photos that you have to edit, right? It could be additional location that you're driving to. And it's also something easy for clients to take advantage of in the long run, not with one particular client, but you might not notice, like, and you need to have like an understanding for yourself about how your time is valuable. And still you can do it with grace and compassion, but and not just be like, okay, the photo shoot's done and they have, you know, more outfits to shoot, whatever. But we have to almost look at it from the perspective of, or like look at it from the big picture of, okay, why did this photo shoot take so much longer to do? It probably is because that the client was taking forever to change. Maybe they kept having to go back and forth to their car. It took them 15 minutes to change, or like an extra 15, you know, it's like the time management. So how you combat that is if you notice that it's taking a long time for the first outfit, then you just remind them like, hey, we have an hour and a half left. Let's get you changed a little bit faster. Like, do you want to bring your next outfit out of the car and we can just have it on us? Like, so you don't have to go back and forth. And then if you struggle with time management in general, have a timer set like an hour and a half into the shoot that goes off to keep you on track. So if you have 3 hours, it will go off like halfway through the shoot. And then the thing is too, it's like, I had this recently happen with a client where they're like, how much extra is it for us to shoot for another hour? And I told them the price is $300 extra. And they're like, okay, cool, no worries. And they kept shooting with me. And I needed to charge them for the extra hour because it was a whole other outfit, location, lighting, images. You know, you don't want to be like, oh, it's okay, we could just keep shooting. Because over time, it's like then you can start to kind of, I don't know, I don't want you to ever start to devalue like the effort and the work that it takes, right? So when it comes to like the compassion side of like, okay, I'm not going to charge extra for this, you know, we go over by 30 minutes. Sometimes it can be our own fault as photographers. Maybe we misjudged when golden hour was going to begin and we got to the photo shoot with, we started the photo shoot too early. And maybe though you also have the time, this is just one shoot a day, you don't have back to back shoots, like it all varies. But if you can gauge though when a client is trying to take advantage, most don't, you know, but it's like you can tell when they're like, oh wait, can we just do like this one other outfit, can we just do this? That's when it's like, okay, we need to like, I need to be charging by the hour, of course, and invoice that separately. And most clients understand. So I just don't think that's necessarily a good idea, but I understand why some people don't mind. Like, they're like, I'm having fun. Me and the client, we're vibing. It's whatever. But I encourage you to kind of think about, like, try to dissect, why are we going over time? Is it because we are spending too much time engaging in conversation before, or like before getting the shot? You know, you can try to really analyze it and problem solve it so you don't go over time. And it's also just important, like, it can become a bad habit where it's like, yes, you are vibing with this client and having fun, but what if instead you guys go out for drinks after, so you can wrap up the shoot on time, and then all that time spent talking, you get drinks after, or like you hang out after separately, so that then you're not then stuck with a whole additional like set of images to edit, if that makes any sense. I'm really curious to hear you guys' thoughts, and I really encourage you to check out Discord if you've never heard of the chat platform before. Like I said, it syncs up with like Twitch and other streaming services, I guess. It's pretty cool. I wonder if it goes to YouTube. I don't know. But the Build and Bloom Photography Discord will be linked below, or you can just search it on Discord. You could also join the Build and Bloom Photography Facebook group. That's the best place to get like super detailed questions answered. That's where you can share your work directly in the group. Discord is more of like a chat. So it's two different platforms, two different options. I believe in you and I believe in your business. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did and you made it this far, please go leave a rating and review. This pushes the podcast out to other photographers who could use this free resource. I hope that you guys enjoyed. I know this was a bit more casual. And again, I hope it, like, I don't want it to sound like hating on trends and hating on things. You know, I always still want to be able to offer some kind of productive, like, feedback and, like, action steps. But maybe this episode was a bit more of just, like, talking and everything. I don't know. The next episode that's coming out is going to be a guest episode, and then I have an advice column coming soon. And that's going to become a once a month thing. I do also want to do an episode on how to work with social media influencers. So going back to the whole, you know, shooting on their SD card and not editing them, I can go more in depth into that if you guys are interested. And if you are, just send me a DM over on Instagram or on the Discord chat. I believe in you, and I believe in your business, and I'll see you in the next episode.